This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As a landmark opioid trial gets underway, just how much has the epidemic cost the economy? From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The first federal trial of the opioid crisis is expected to begin today in Cleveland. Thousands of U.S. cities and counties have sued drug makers and distributors, accusing them of aggressively marketing painkillers and failing to stop suspicious orders. Some big names like Purdue Pharma have already settled. The trial beginning today was brought by two Ohio counties against Teva Pharmaceuticals, Walgreens, and three large distributors. Meanwhile, there's new information about how much the opioid crisis is costing. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has more.
Researchers at the Society of Actuaries wanted to be able to put a number on how hard the economy has been hit.
The economic cost across the entire U.S. of opioid abuse was $631 billion over a four-year period that ran from 2015 to 2018.
Dale Hall is managing director of research at the Society. The biggest single piece of that was premature deaths and the loss of wages people could have earned. Second,
$205 billion of the burden was attributable to excess healthcare spending.
Federal, state, and local governments pick up about a third of the costs. Chuck Slemp, Commonwealth attorney for Wise County, Virginia, ran through some of them for our podcast, The Uncertain Hour.
How many hours of police work? How many thousands of dollars in attorney's fees? How many children were removed and separated from their parents and in foster care or adopted at great cost to the state?
The actuaries predict that the toll is only going to rise this year. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Social media giant Facebook is considering some changes to its Libra project, a planned cryptocurrency it hopes will aid faster payments and money transfers. Libra has been sold as a stable alternative to the dollar, backed by real assets like government bonds. Now, Reuters reports Facebook's thinking about backing Libra with other cryptocurrencies called stable coins. Marketplace's Justin Ho has been looking into this. Justin, what is a stable coin?
It's kind of a catch-all for cryptocurrencies that try to hold a stable value by pegging themselves to real currencies like the dollar. You know, that's opposed to something like Bitcoin, which has a value that can shoot up and down, often by way more than the value of the dollar or the euro. And the idea would be to back Libra with a series of stable coins pegged to a bunch of different currencies. And that would be a different tactic than the original plan of backing Libra with a basket of actual currencies and real-world assets.
And why change the way that Libra works now?
It's not clear, but Facebook has suffered a few setbacks with Libra this month. You know, it launched the project with the support of a bunch of high-profile companies, but a few weeks ago, several dropped out, companies including Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal. And regulators here and around the world have had serious reservations about stablecoins in general. On Friday, the G20 said stablecoins pose serious risks to the world's financial stability if they're rolled out on a large scale, risks involving money laundering or consumer protections. The head of Facebook's Libra project, David Marcus, did say this new stablecoin idea is not the company's preferred option. He told Reuters that, quote, "we wouldn't go forward unless we've addressed all of the legitimate concerns." Either way, Facebook says it still wants to launch Libra by June of next year.
Marketplace's Justin Ho, thanks. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will try again today to get his Brexit deal through Parliament if the House of Commons Speaker allows a vote. With just 10 days left before an October 31st deadline to leave the European Union, opponents of the deal are pushing for another three-month delay. Let's do the numbers. Investors seem optimistic about a Brexit deal. The FTSE in London is up about 11 points, or 0.1%. In the U.S., stock futures are up, with the Dow up almost 0.1%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's Ascensus.com.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year. And we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Retailers that still rely on customers coming into a store to buy things are trying to figure out new ways to compete against e-commerce. And some are starting to lure us with food. Marketplace Hub reporter Peggy Lowe of KCUR looks at stores that are starting restaurants. It's an old idea that's making a comeback.
Contractor Andrew Cannon was stacking lumber on an orange metal cart on a recent Wednesday at a Home Depot in Kansas City. He's made lots of quick trips for supplies here and has grabbed lunch a couple times at the new Pro Cafe inside the store.
I've just stopped and gotten like hot dogs and stuff. It's pretty good.
Along with power tools and plumbing supplies, shoppers at this Home Depot can now get hot dogs, breakfast burritos, or grilled brats for $1.95 at what looks like a food truck parked inside the front door.
If you're already here, you know it's in and out and makes stuff easier. So.
And that's the whole idea for retailers looking for ways to keep customers coming back to a physical space. Barbara Kahn, a marketing professor at the Wharton School, says Home Depot is adding to the customer experience with food.
There still seems to be some advantage for many, many customers to go into a physical store when you're a customer of a store that sells things like Home Depot does.
Kahn says the food in stores trend is not necessarily a new idea.
Because they've had restaurants and department stores forever and ever. That's not a brand new idea, but it is kind of taking a new shape.
Lots of companies are trying it out. Among them, Crate & Barrel, the upscale home goods store, opened a restaurant in its suburban Chicago store this summer with a James Beard Award-winning chef. And you can literally have breakfast at Tiffany's in its New York store. Danny Klein of Food News Media, a trade publication, says both restaurants and retail stores are trying to increase foot traffic.
If you're a retail store, a restaurant might be helpful to get people to actually either come in through the door, or if that's not the case, you know, people coming to shop and then, you know, stopping to get a bite. It's just another revenue stream.
Home Depot says while its first Pro Cafe is in the Kansas City store, the company will be adding others to a handful of additional markets this year. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.